When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force, swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions. Lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X in Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
Floodwaters come pouring out of the windows of this old mill in Buchanan, Iowa. The town is watching the river rising, gushing waters have overflowed the banks and are flooding parking lots, businesses, and homes tonight. Saturday night was very extreme in terms of weather.
And why?
Why?
Run.
We prepare to go live to Los Angeles.
Water coming towards New York City.
Lorillard is virtually inaccessible.
Here in New Delhi, it's snowing.
In Nova Scotia, the ocean rose by 25
feet. What you see is happening now.
The largest hailstorm on record.
This is massive.
I'm here at the Global Warming Conference in New Delhi, where if you can believe your eyes, it's snowing. The coldest weather on record has thrown the city into chaos.
The fear
theory of Hurricane Noelani stunned weather experts yesterday, slamming into the unprepared island chain with a cataclysmic force never before witnessed. Meteorologists already believe this to be the strongest hurricane ever recorded.
As I predicted yesterday, the swell off Hurricane Noelani is incredible. These waves are even bigger than I imagined. Just take a look. There's hail the size of golf balls coming down here.
Low pressure system moving along the California coastline is creating a cyclonic system across the LA basin.
Lancaster are reporting wind speeds in excess of 70 miles per hour, conditions that are highly unusual for California.
They just issued a tornado warning in Los Angeles.
Breaking news as we prepare to go live to Los Angeles.
I wouldn't be surprised. There is so much damage down there, and there are people down there taking pictures.
Hey, what the hell are you guys doing? Go for cover! You can't stay here! Get out of here!
What you're seeing are two actual tornadoes striking Los Angeles International Airport. Wait, it looks like they joined and formed one large tornado.
Tommy!
Oh my God!
For our national audience just joining us now, we are going live to downtown Los Angeles right now. Tommy?
If you look over there behind me, that's a tornado. Yes, a twister in Los Angeles. It's one of many tornadoes that are destroying our city. There's another one. That's the Los Angeles skyline. It's unbelievable. It's new. I've never seen anything like that.
A massive tornado outbreak as twisters plow through the heartland. We'll tell you what you need to know right now to keep your family safe.
And at this hour, a deadly tornado outbreak continues. Lots of watches and warnings still spread across the region. One area that has been particularly active here is right along the border of Illinois and Indiana, the line of storms pressing eastward across Indiana. Indianapolis, you've already seen one tornado smash through the south side of town. Now there are more severe storms headed in your direction from the west.
And there is heavy damage in southeast Indianapolis. At least 71 tornadoes have been reported. One of those near Indianapolis Motor Speedway earlier today, while some 400,000 people were on hand for the big race.
And here's a breakdown of some of those tornado numbers out there. And we do have quite a lot in the way of tornadoes reported. Indiana leading the way today with 36. Boy, this is a race you don't want to be leading the way in. And unfortunately, there are still more out there and the potential for more into the overnight hours. We're taking you now to pictures of the damage in Marengo, Indiana, where one person died this afternoon in a storm. Three people also were killed by a tornado in Weatherby, Missouri, to the northeast of Kansas City in last night's outbreak.
Let's bring in our severe weather expert, Dr. Greg Forbes.
Dr. Forbes, it's been an incredible May for tornadoes. Let's put us all in some perspective here.
Yeah, it started out real slow, but boy, this past week, 8 days have really accelerated. Let's take a look at some of the statistics. The first week, broken down here, 13 preliminary count. That's way below average. Next week, 67. The third week, 65. Now, since May 22nd, including May 22nd through yesterday, 308 reports of tornadoes, bringing the count for the month, not including today, to 453. Now, we have probably 70-some more today, so we're getting very close to the record that we set last May.
Being secular scientific thinkers, my fellow researchers and I narrowed our search of the solar system down to internet sites such as NASA, JPL, and so forth, so that we could avoid sources that were difficult to vet. Our goal was to find signs of global warming or other surface perturbations elsewhere in the solar system. Once we started looking at the data reported by these sites, what we found in 1999 stunned us. Imagine that you're standing in the middle of a dark theater when a lighting technician suddenly begins switching on every bank of lights in the house. First comes the clack, clack, clack of switches, and then you have to cover your eyes until they adjust to this new reality. That's what happened to us. Not only was the Earth showing signs of global warming, so was Mars. In fact, if global warming on Earth were as severe as it is on Mars, we would be in the midst of an extinction-level event at this very moment. Even cold and distant Pluto was evidencing signs of global warming. From there, the evidence just kept piling up as we studied each planet in turn. In a manner of speaking, you could say that every bulb on the tree was brightly lit. So like any other string of Christmas lights, there's gotta be a plug in the wall. And in this troubling string of lights, that led straight back to our sun. It was then that we realized that global warming, such as we're experiencing now, is principally caused by solar activity, and that man-made pollution is only an aggravating factor. That's not to underplay our foolish consumption hubris, for it is driving us to weaken the biosphere we need to protect us in the difficult years ahead. So there we were in 2000, at the end of our research, and with the unanimous decision that the sun is the principal cause of global warming, and that man-made pollution is simply an aggravating factor. We knew there was more to the story, but at that point we were all exhausted and, frankly, troubled by what we discovered. For me, it was the perfect time to take a long-awaited vacation. And soon afterwards, my wife and I flew to Israel, found myself standing at a spot overlooking the Roman siege ramp. Next to me was a young Israeli historian. After exchanging a few pleasantries, I asked her, "So what's the lesson here? That dying for your beliefs is a noble thing?" I'll never forget how she turned to me and smiled. "No," she said thoughtfully, "the real lesson of Masada is that you always need to have a plan B." She didn't give it a second thought, but for me, it was a life-changing epiphany. It was at that precise moment in time, on that mountain fortress overlooking the Roman ramp, that my mission in life became clear. I needed to develop a practical plan B. But how? That very question was on my mind as we flew back to the United States, and I suppose it was fitting that I got the answer at 35,000 feet. Things just seemed to happen up there. But then it struck me. If I could find what was causing our sun to become so violent and why it is perturbing every planet in the system, that would help us to begin formulating Plan B. And this would lead me to yet another surprise. Upon our return from our vacation in Israel in 2000, I launched Your Own World USA with my fellow researchers, and we began publishing our findings on global warming and space threats. Even then, we were still trying to explain this perturber when Synchronicity handed me another pearl. During 2001, I was appearing on a national television program with Dr. Brian Marsden, the Associate Director of the Smithsonian Astrophysics Observatories, and in preparation for a subsequent show, he worked with me on an alternate theory to explain the extinction of the dinosaurs, which is generally held to be the result of the Chicxulub impact some 65 million years ago. During our discussions, he expressed great excitement over a recent discovery of 2001 KX-76. It was a Kuiper belt object. He was of the opinion that this early find would lead to the discovery of a planet-sized object at the edge of our solar system far beyond the orbit of Pluto. He was right on the money, because this is exactly what happened years later. At that point, I had a new focus for Plan B. What this meant was that we finally knew which questions to ask. This object had to be one of two things. a rogue that's simply passing through our system, or a captive that's in orbit around our sun. If it were a captive, it could very well be documented in ancient texts and folklore. Therefore, to understand the near future, we then needed to explore the far past. This is when I gathered together my research team, and as the famous character Sherlock Holmes would like to say, the game is afoot. It wasn't long before there we were again, standing in yet another dark theater as the lighting technician switched on every bank of lights in the house. We found historical accounts of this object and warnings of its return, one upon the other. It is Planet X, which is also known by other names, such as Nibiru, Destroyer, Frightener, and Red Comet. By early 2002, it became clear to us that this object was now inbound and that it would likely arrive around the 2012 timeframe, a date coincidental with the end of the current Mayan calendar on December 21, 2012. The question in my mind at that point was not what would happen to us, but rather, how would we get through it? This led me to write my first Planet X book, God's Child Covenant, Return of Nibiru. When I set out to write God's Child Covenant, Return of Nibiru, I had two goals in mind, one public and one private. My public goal was to help people to gently wrap their minds around this troubling topic through a fact-based fiction novel set in 2012. Like the American classic Gone with the Wind, God's Child Covenant is centered on a small number of pivotal love stories set against the backdrop of a turbulent time. For those of you who are new to this topic, God's Child Covenant is a great place to begin, and this is for two reasons. First, it will ease your entry into this topic, and second, it will help you to begin developing a critical survival skill. The book is very visual, so that it will help you imagine these future circumstances in your mind. By doing this, you'll start hardwiring your brain for survival, much in the same way the military trains warfighters to cope with challenging situations. God's Child Covenant also had a personal goal for me. The answer to one simple question. How will we as a species survive this? It wasn't until the book was finally off to press that I could relax and understand that I had gotten the answer, which is we'll survive and evolve as a species for as long as men and women can love and cherish each other as equals. If you're looking for the most gentle way to wrap your head around this topic, I've included a look-inside sample of this book on this CD. In late 2003, fellow researcher Steve Russell introduced our team to a 3,600-year-old ancient wisdom text we now publish as the Colburn Bible. When Steve first introduced it, he was very excited about it, and Janice Manning immediately insisted that we needed to make this available to everyone on the widest possible basis. But I was skeptical at first. However, as I began to read it, I became deeply impressed by its authentic wisdom and the fact that it offers the clearest and most prescient historical accounts of Planet X flybys. Documented by the ancient Egyptians and Celts, they read like TV news man on the street reports. This is because the historical accounts in the Colburn Bible were written by Planet X survivors or by those who followed in their footsteps, sometimes by only a few generations. Given this, the value of this ancient text to all those now facing the troubling years ahead is immediately clear and compelling. Let's be honest, who do you look to for solid information? Someone who has survived previous flybys, or talking heads on television who are just winging it and trying to look intelligent? According to Planet X historian Greg Jenner, the Colburn Bible is the Rosetta Stone of Planet X. And to help you appreciate that, this CD includes an abridged edition of his ebook, which also contains a look-inside sample of the Colburn Bible. In this abridged ebook, Greg also reveals eye-opening parallels to Planet X historical accounts in the Holy Bible as well. The most marvelous thing about the Colburn Bible for me is that it offers much more than Planet X historical accounts. It is rich with wisdom and love that reaches across the millennia to those of us living today. As you read this book, you will begin to see human evolution in a completely new way, one that fills you with hope for the future. That, of course, brings us to the big question: how do we get to the future? If you're already fortunate enough to have a golden Wonka ticket to an underground government survival arc, or you're wealthy enough to build a bunker complex on some high mountaintop, you've already got your plan B. But what about those with limited means who will be left to fend for themselves? Do they have a plan B? Yes, now they do. In August 2007, we published Planet X Forecast and 2012 Survival Guide. This book is written for those of modest or average means who will be left to fend for themselves in this coming time of tribulation. On this CD, you'll find an Adobe PDF ebook with the principal graphics used in this book. We first published this PDF over a year ago, and since then, it has been downloaded over 90,000 times. When do you buy this book? When the time comes that you say to yourself, "Now that I get it, how do I get through it?" At that point, you'll know that if you do not deal with this, it's going to deal with you, and that nature is about to cull the herd. In the meantime, I'll be the first to admit that this whole topic is about the furthest thing from pleasure reading you'll ever find. So to help you get through it, this CD includes my virtual Serenity relaxation video, featuring the native flute music of Coyote Old Man. It's also on YouTube and Google, but the free version on this disc is in high fidelity and can be easily copied to your computer hard drive. It's 20 minutes long, and it will help you to calm your nerves. And it's great for children, too. There's also a homepage on this CD with helpful links to our websites, which provide a wealth of information for free. Why? Because we're in it for the species. And I'll leave it on that note. Until the next time we meet, please remember Marshall's motto: destiny comes to those who listen, and fate finds the rest. So learn what you can learn, do what you can do, and never give up hope. This is Marshall, and I'll catch you on the backside of the flyby. For more information about the books mentioned in this program, please visit planetxforecast.com or yowbooks.com, yowbooks.com.
Like Joseph of Arimathea, who kept in, of course, in its original form, the Colburn Bible.
But I've been trying to get a hold of a Colburn Bible. Now, what I understand is that book was ancient at the time of Joseph of Arimathea.
Right, and these were the ancient texts in the original Old Testament.
Now, I want to read for my audience what little bit I have from the Colburn Bible, dealing with the destroyer, ladies and gentlemen. It says, quote, now, it also describes in here in detail what allegedly took place at the time of the flood, and again at the time of the Exodus, which would appear to be heavenly bodies, probably comets. I'm sure you would agree with that, Mr. McCanny.
Yeah.
But then it says this about the future, and I want to read this. Quote, "Men forget the days of the destroyer. Only the wise know where it went and that it will return in its appointed hour. When ages pass, certain laws operate upon the stars in the heavens. Their ways change. There is movement and restlessness. They are no longer constant, and a great light appears redly in the skies. When blood drops upon the earth, the destroyer will appear, and mountains will open up and belch forth fire and ashes. Trees will be destroyed and all living things engulfed. Waters will be swallowed up by the land and sea will boil. And then it says this, women will, it tells that when this happens, it says, women will be as men and men as women. Men will fly in the air as birds and swim in the sea as fishes. Then shall the high strive with the low. And then it also gives the effect of the destroyer as being terrifying. It says, quote, when children will turn gray-headed.
A married couple in Canada claimed that the miracles began at home when they least expected them. In Toronto, Canada, a 37-year-old plant manager would unexpectedly become the messenger of further warnings of catastrophe.
The Lord forecast to him several events that have come true and warnings of other events in the future. He claims the Lord warned him that there were two other diseases being prepared by evil forces right now that would be even worse than the AIDS virus. He claims that there will be this major war again in the former republics, the Soviet Union.
In 1989, Croatian immigrant Jim Singer was an upwardly mobile executive with a wife and two children.
And if somebody would have said to me, you are going to have an apparition, I would have said, what was in your coffee? I would not believe them.
May the 18th of that same year began as an ordinary Sunday for the Singer family.
That was the day before our 19th anniversary. That night, we got in bed. We had nice discussion, my husband and I, how we gonna spend following day. Suddenly, in the midst of our conversation, my husband stopped talking to me. And that moment, I felt very powerful vibration all over around us. So I didn't know what's happening to him. For a moment or second, I thought maybe he got a heart attack or something.
Oblivious to his wife's attempts to rouse him, Jim Singer recalls a blinding flash of colored lights.
In the midst of that brilliance, a person came walking, a male, and he started speaking to me.
That very moment, I saw he was covered with beautiful, brilliant light, and he was transformed. He started talking to someone. The only word that I understood that sometimes Jim said, our dear Lord, but I wouldn't dare even think that this is God.
Author Michael Brown has studied visionaries from around the world and is convinced that Jim Singer is authentic.
His experience probably as extraordinary as any I've ever seen claimed this century. And his messages are very powerful. His messages convey to us the sense of urgency of the time.
One of the first things that our Lord said was that the time has come that without his direct intervention, this world will not survive.
My husband, many times he grabbed for the pillow. He couldn't stand that. Whatever he saw after he explained to us as a family what he saw. And he put pillow in his eyes. He couldn't watch that. And in one apparition, I saw tears in his eyes. And he said, dear Lord, please help us. Help us, save us.
And suddenly, before me, it was like on a screen. Very, very dark skies. I mean black. Bodies. People wandering around aimlessly. Hunger. Individuals that were crying for drink and nobody would give it to them. Everybody was in a daze. What he showed me is if you continue on this path, this is what will happen.
Some of Jim's nightmare visions came in the form of prophecy, as one warning of a devastating plane crash soon to come.
No place, no time, no date, no specific airline, none of those things. All our Lord said, they will feel the power of the prayer, my presence, as I'm in answering their prayer. And the only thing I could identify that it was going to be on this continent, and it was going to be on green cornfields.
Days later, Jim recognized his plane crash from photographs in a news magazine.
The article begins with a wonderful description of green, emerald green cornfields. And I thought, wow, isn't that fascinating? Even the words, you know. And then you read the testimony after testimony, what people felt at that time. How they felt touched by something that one would consider, well, very unusual, and certainly many would say miraculous.
Through his 100 days of apparitions, Jim Singer was reportedly shown images of a world gripped by conflict. Storms, earth changes, and tribulations of biblical proportion.
And says basically what all of these other apparitions say, that if we don't come back to the Lord, that our entire system of economics, our entire militaries, our nations, our world community will unravel out of control. The time is now, the time is urgent, the time is extremely urgent, and that's why we're seeing all of these manifestations around the world.
This flood of prophecy and images of destruction are seemingly being received by ordinary people all over the world. Are these supernatural voices giving us one final chance?
In her last psychic vision of Gary, she claimed spectral presences prepared his body for a journey into the afterlife.
And I watched luminous light beings, and they were standing around, and they were, it was like the body was being purged.
Today, June seems at peace. She claims to use her psychic gifts to help others with personal matters, but she also focuses on global concerns. She sees mankind facing profoundly difficult problems.
It's been a very Frankensteinish type of world that we as a people have created. By 1997, 1998, there's going to be a lot of turmoil, a lot of trauma, where people are going to become more violent in regards to their beliefs. There's going to be a lot of upheaval in regards to Mexico. This country will self-destruct. By 1997, 1998, there's going to be a lot of turmoil, a lot of trauma, where people are going to become more violent in regards to their beliefs. There's going to be a lot of upheaval in regards to Mexico. This country will self-destruct.
2,000 years ago, and we see them coming true now.
The Bible may provide vivid imagery that suggests a 21st century at risk from technological dangers. Author Hal Lindsay.
For instance, in Revelation chapter 8, it says that something like a burning meteor hits the earth and destroys a third of all mankind, that it poisons a third of all fresh water, it burns up a third of all trees. Looks like a meteor.
The loss of one-third of life on land and sea may sound sudden and catastrophic, but many interpretations of the Bible warn that the end times may involve a slow period known as the 3 days of darkness. This metaphor could refer to nuclear winter, the greenhouse effect, or merely a prolonged eclipse. Whichever it is, some believe that men and women will need to seek refuge from vile judgments, so-called because these biblical judgments pour down upon us as if from a vial. Author Salem Kurban.
The first vial judgment, boils on the skin will erupt on people throughout the earth. Where these boils come from or why they erupt, it could be from the water they drink, it could be from the pollution.
In another vile judgment, some interpretations of Scripture envision massive pollution poisoning the world's ocean and killing the creatures of the deep. The environmental crisis then literally rises to the heavens, attacking what we now call the ozone layer. Yet another vile judgment follows.
The sun becomes so hot because of the ozone layer that it will scorch all mankind.
Revelation chapter 16 tells us that during this great tribulation period, men are going to be burned by the sun. You have space shuttles that have been up recently with the specific mission of trying to figure out what is the effect of the hole in the ozone layer that's now beginning to grow, men being burned from the sun. Exactly what the Bible told us.
As the biblical 3 days of darkness continues on its course of prophesied chastisements and tribulations, the blistering sun may give way to even more fearful judgments.
The earth is finally plunged into darkness. As earthquakes occur around the world and cities are destroyed and they're knocked down in many cases by 100-pound hailstones.
If the 3 days of darkness is indeed manifested upon the earth, it may come about for a reason.
How did man get in the terrible situation in which he finds himself? An article of Christian faith is that humanity is fallen in nature. That is, man is somehow bent. He is somehow less than perfect. And the help that he needs to become whole again is the pattern of redemption. And the purpose of that will be to wipe out wickedness on the planet and to reestablish some kind of order.
Although the Bible may warn of approaching darkness, some believe there will always be light.
Even the worst case scenario apocalypse always has a positive outcome. Not only at the end, but even through it, for those people who properly spiritually prepare themselves.
One look at the fire in June Gatlin's eyes, one look at the light in her face, and you can see something special burning within. But life isn't always easy for a person with such a gift. Sometimes you can see more than you want and know more than you need. Perhaps it's that way with all prophets. The Bible was written a long time ago. Within its pages may lie a description of a terrible future, a time of judgment and tribulation that some believe is almost upon us. Just how close and how severe that future will be is hard to tell. However, there's a name given to this ominous event. The 3 days of darkness.
For over 2,000 years, biblical prophecy appears to have been accurate. In the 20th century, a series of momentous events has occurred. Events the Bible long ago warned would one day come to pass. Author Peter Lalonde.
The Bible spoke 2,000 years into the future. And it told us the main events that are happening in this generation.
Of the end times, biblical scholars offer several interpretations. Writer Gary Stearman.
It tells us that we are living in a particular time period, a time in which believers in Scripture are urged to be especially watchful. Because as Jesus said to his own disciples, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Exactly what signs will usher in this time of tribulation for now remain a mystery, but some interpretations of the Bible may yield clues. Author Joanna Michelson.
No one single event can really pinpoint the fact that it's the end times. But now, for the first time, we have the capability to bring about what the book of Revelation speaks about, massive global destruction.
The Bible appears to paint a picture of our modern world, complete with details that conform to current technology.
There are some prophecies being fulfilled right now that could not have been fulfilled in any other generation. Matthew chapter 24, the disciples said to Jesus, what will this last generation be like? And he said, except those days would be cut short, not one person would be left alive on the face of the earth.
The concept of a pole shift, in other words, the earth moving its either magnetic or physical pole, has come up many times when we hear people talking about Planet X. My own papers, which were published in 1979, deal with a very subtle property of the Earth, and that is that the mantle of the Earth is not connected physically, as in one solid rock type of a structure, with the inner core. In fact, there's a very viscous layer in there, and if a large object comes by Earth within close proximity, it would set up basically a tidal wave in the mantle, and we could see very easily that this would cause a shift of land masses. Now, this wouldn't be a nice smooth gyration. This would be a pulse coming through the surface of the Earth at thousands of miles an hour. Mountain ranges would form, oceans would form huge tides, and this would not be something you'd want to face in everyday life. It would be a very violent event.
Various scientists have noticed these geological changes in the patterns in them. And what almost invariably happens is that the thought of our Earth being subjected to these kind of violent motions and is so frightening that people prefer not to think about it. It's like the cancer patient who doesn't want to know. And so it's put aside. People put it in the context of like millions and millions of years ago, such and such happened. Well, in fact, it was 3,000 and 4,000 years ago that we had our last geological cataclysms. For instance, the oceans are 16 to 20 feet lower than they were approximately 3,500 years ago. All over the world, seashells are high on beaches, indicating the water line was higher. What caused that water to drop? Where did it go? Didn't evaporate? Well, it was a pole shift, and it caused the rifts in the oceans to widen so that the water dropped down.
Again, a warning for our time. Nostradamus writes, in the year 1999 and 7 months, the great king of terror will come from the sky.
Its orbit is between 3,600 and 3,660 years. That's why people today know little to nothing about it unless they've read the British Museum Natural History's ancient diggings that they found, their archaeological diggings. But you see, this is just one more of the planets in our solar system. Only very powerful and expensive scopes or very deep space probes can be seen and can show us the other sun. Otherwise, you don't know it exists. But I want to turn your attention now to the monitor, because it's fairly easy to see why it's been kept under wraps, because this dead sun at the very top is 50 billion miles away. And then there was two orbiting telescopes, Pioneer 10 and 11, taking pictures. And right there in this encyclopedia, New Science and Invention Encyclopedia, the 1987 edition, shows the 10th planet. 4.7 billion miles from Earth after it had already circulated around the dead sun. And it's heading our way. And the very reason that they discovered it was because they sent up Pioneer 10 and 11. And so now they found the planet. They know it exists. They're preparing. Russia's preparing for it. To be exact, they've been digging and hiding military equipment underground, whole cities underground, not only to protect themselves from an eventual war with the United States, but so that they can have population alive. When a planet's orbit is between two suns, instead of just one of them, that orbit is very peculiar. It doesn't just go in more of a circular motion or egg-like motion. It spends about 99% of its time going very slowly away from one planet until it reaches the gravitational pull of the other planet. Then it begins to speed up until it goes around that particular sun and then starts heading back, and it's very slow once again. But once it moves halfway toward the other sun and the gravitational pull latches onto it, it speeds up. This particular planet X is over halfway, and it has speeded up, and that's why now even the smaller observatories have been able to see it. Once it crosses Pluto's orbit, it's 90 days from going between the Earth and the Sun, and all of these things will begin to happen. I cannot set dates. I won't set dates. I can only tell you what scientists say. Scientists say that probably by springtime, sometime in May of 2003, this will pass. We all hope they're wrong. And yet we want the prophecies to be fulfilled so Jesus Christ and the kingdom can be established on this earth. Yes, you can say, and no pun intended, but yes, pun intended, this is going to rock our world because of what is going to happen. But that's why Jesus said that you and I needed to make sure that we're accounted worthy. Many from the past did not understand when this planet passed. They looked at it as a comet. They didn't understand the effects on planet Earth and connect it with what was happening. Volcanoes erupting, earthquakes, and whole cities were buried instantly. Land masses sinking and others rising. Tidal waves beginning to pound the seacoasts of every nation on Earth. Severe weather, fires that seemingly couldn't be put out. Floods in different locations because the gravitational pull, as it began to build up, the closer it got to Earth and the sun. Droughts, and of course that's accompanied by food shortages. Some ancient writers in their texts that were uncovered by the British Museum of Natural History simply noted what they said was a foreboding sign in the sky. They called it the messenger of the prophets. This was when Planet X went across the sky. Notice what it says in Jeremiah chapter 30 of the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30. I'll start in verse 4 through verse 7, Jeremiah 30, verse 4 through verse 7. These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. So these are the primary peoples that God has dealt with. He chose them out of all the peoples on earth. They were to be the example of righteous living. They've never been. Verse 5, for thus says the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. We've always attributed that to nuclear war, chemical, biological agents when they came. But now it puts a whole different slant on things. Verse 6, ask you now and see whether a man does travail with child. What would make someone so scared that they would hold their stomach and bend over with pains like birth pains? Why? If you've ever seen the movie Deep Impact, you can understand a little better about asteroids hitting the Earth and what it did to it. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins and as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Yes, this is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble, but we've already been assured that 10% will be saved, and the church, some will be protected, those that seek God by watching and praying, and that they will also be kept out of contact with the hour of temptation. When this thing goes so close that we will see landscapes just disappearing, crumbling, the New Madrid fault line breaking loose, and there's even been theories, and this is all it is so far, that when this thing comes, the gravitational pull will be so strong that there will be an eastern and a western United States with a great river 20 miles wide going from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico. There's even others who have said along the Red River that it will also, that quake line will also break, and Texas could become an island pushed up because of this great tidal waves that are coming in the gravitational pull. Yes, planet X never does collide with any other planet or the sun in the universe. God made it that way. There's been recent understanding of what is called repulsion force, and that's what keeps it from colliding with the sun and the earth and other planets as they draw near. However, when it does come through the Oort belt beyond Pluto, that's when it begins to draw with it asteroids and comets. And so when you begin to understand the trumpets being opened in the Bible, then you begin to understand where these things are coming from, because first you've got the great earthquake, and all of a sudden the ceiling to preserve people alive, and mainly God's people alive, and then enough of the other human beings to start the race over. And then the resurrection when Christ comes to repopulate the planet and to conclude the salvation process for the last 1,000 years. But yes, there will be tsunamis in the oceans. Tidal waves will get very high. Storms will increase the closer it gets. Floods will take place. There'll be seismic activity as earthquakes continue. And if you get a chart, which one person sitting in this auditorium has done in the past, furnish me with information about earthquake activity since 1900. And you will see, since the first time when they began to think there was a 10th planet out there, since then, earthquake activity has increasingly, decade by decade, gotten stronger. Higher intensity earthquakes, right on down to the very moment in which we live. Yes, these things are coming. You and I are not going to escape them. No one on earth will, unless God Almighty counts us worthy. It will take place. Some of the things that are happening on planet Earth right now have been attributed to sunspots, until scientists begin to object and say that can't be true. It's all because of the gravitational pull beginning to take hold from planet X as it comes closer and closer. And so it is, the global warming thing that we hear about is not from our exhaust coming out of our gasoline tanks and so on, our automobiles. It attributes to it, but no, it's because of the gravitational pull of this planet and the excitement inside the core of the Earth, heating it up. And therefore, the Earth is getting warmer, but there is a reason for it. A natural reason, not what you and I have done to this planet. There was an article that came out of a Reuters press in September 13th, the year 2000, by a Mr. Andrea Shutskin. And he said that the Parliament of Russia met. It's actually called the Politburo there. And they decided they had to anticipate a chain of disasters due to hit their country in the year 2003. And they went on to say that they had come to the conclusion that the very existence of Russia as a nation was even under question when this happened. We don't know when it'll be. We can only look at what scientists, astronomers say with all of their computer technology and so on. But you and I can know one thing for sure. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus and you make the majority. If he says that you have been counted worthy by the life you live, by the desire you have to obey him, no one can take that protection away from you. No one. If a husband lives godly in Christ Jesus, but the wife doesn't, the husband may be sealed, but the wife not. If the wife lives godly, but the husband doesn't, the other way around. If both are living godly, they can be sealed. God is looking to the heart. He always has. He always will. He wants each and every one of us to be circumcised in heart so that we can be accounted worthy. He didn't put these words in the pages of the Bible for no reason at all. He laid them bare in there for us so that we at the end of the age would be able to understand what is going to happen and why we should actually strive with all of our being to keep a permanent attitude of mind to obey our Savior. In Luke chapter 21, I'm going to skip a great deal of the information that I wanted to present, but I'll do it at another time, maybe. Luke 21, though, once again, Jesus is talking about the end of the age. In verse 11, I'm just going to read the last part. It says, "Great signs shall there be from heaven." Great signs.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus. Please write to me at Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T-O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082. I would be happy to hear from you. Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T as in Tom, O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082.